Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Thank you all for listening here today, and I want to discuss several things with you as I'm going out there and just observing people. And when I lived in New York, I was a people watcher. I would just stay in the city and just watch people and see the way they acted and what they did, and just putting that all together with the choices that people make. And you can learn a lot. You can learn a lot by just watching people and just seeing how they go about their day and the way they do things. And as I'm talking to people, I'm listening to what they're saying and the choices they're making. You could observe a lot by the way people dress. You could observe a lot by the way people speak, the words they different to use, and the choices they make. And there's communication is the words a person speaks is only a very short form of communication. There's so much more that is a way of communication. And people communicate things a lot more than just what they're speaking. You know, from their body language to the choices they make and everything else is determining what is going on. And a wise person who uses discernment can read a person really well and understand a person's strengths and weaknesses. One of the things certain people in life, whether it's advertisers or people that work for a human resource department for a company, especially police officers when they're dealing with cases of murder and they're trying to find a suspect, these people are trained or have developed a skill in discernment in terms of reading language other than the words that are coming out of someone's mouth. And getting the answers they need to their problem, or to at least the situation. So if an advertiser wants to appeal to somebody, they're going to find out what's going to appeal to people the most. So sometimes they do these study groups where they find out, well, you know, this shows that most people would choose this over this. Then somebody's looking for a job, or as an individual, they're going to look at his past record, but he's just going to look at a lot of current things to determine if that person is the right person for the job. And then, of course, these murder suspects, they're going to really, really, you know, read you until they figure out if you're innocent or guilty. Now, they're not always correct. Often they're wrong, but the motives they might have that might lead to them being wrong is a whole nother story. The bottom line is, we can reveal a lot in the way we act, regardless of our speaking. And for those of you that believe or not believe in spirituality or spiritual level or things like this, you know, I can't speak for you because, well, I can because I was once there. But I'm in a different place now. And I understand from reading the words of our Creator that there's what we call an enemy or an adversary or something that doesn't want us to succeed in life and is always trying to create in us a way to fail at whatever it is we're trying to be successful at in life. And if you think that these advertisers and these police officers and all these other people know how to read your body, you know, some other people call this adversary the devil or Satan. And Satan could read your body language and read the communication you're sending through your actions better than anyone else. And, you know, we can say that, well, these are a person's weaknesses. A lot of people easily speak their weaknesses, but through your anxiety and through who you fear determines who you're giving reverence to. It's very easy for the enemy to attack somebody who's not giving their reverence to our Creator. Very easy. And we spoke about that yesterday, about who people are fearing more. And people aren't fearing our Creator. So it's very easy for them to be attacked. And I'm trying to help people here with this information to help you to understand the doors that you open up through your communication and through revealing it through self. So there's two things going on here. Can you guys hear me? Oh, there. Look at that. Let's turn that on. There you go. Hopefully that's better. Okay. So I'm trying to help you all. I'm trying to help you see this so you can keep knowledge of this. But remember, today communication goes so much farther than it did in the previous days. Because now we have social media. Regardless of what a person says and how a person acts, their communication comes very loudly through what they're posting through social media, because it shows how you think. You know, and people's thoughts can change, but no matter how professional you appear in front of a job interview with a suit, no matter how innocent you try to appear by making up stories in front of a police officer or a judge, and no matter what you're doing, trying to impress people, not only do people understand and have your body language to go off of, but they also have your social media now. So if you're acting in a certain way on social media and you're trying to act a different way to paint a different picture about yourself in real life, that communication is going to catch up to you. And sadly today, social media is really another form of communication that's the enemy is using to understand and know the language of a person and also the thoughts of a person. And so many things we do today are open doors for the enemy to attack us and destroy us. And not only that, there are people of the world that might be considered our enemies. I remember once hearing an interview with a terrorist saying, "We don't got to kill Americans. They're killing themselves." How did he know that? Because he sees the way we act. He sees our fear. He sees all these different things that we do. You know, and I was saying it in my teaching yesterday, people are not giving reverence to our Creator and fearing Him. And the news media, the advertisers, and all these people know this. And those of you that think you have a strong foundation with our wonderful Heavenly Father, let your language show that. Let your language reveal that your language doesn't change. You're not inconsistent. You're not giving a message of a fake message. So wherever you go, if you consider yourself a believer in Yahshua, the one they call Jesus, but you live a life that goes against the way he told you to live, that's quite questionable to people that don't know him. They just see your inconsistency. If you're dressing a certain way, but you confess yourself as a believer, you know, some people say, well, we shouldn't judge. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us we are to discern and judge people, to know where they're at in life. If they're not a believer, to help them to understand and see the light of Yahshua, the one they call Jesus. And if they are a believer, to question why they're acting the way they're acting, if they confess to be a believer. So we are to judge. The only judgment we're told not to do in Scripture is somebody's salvation, and that judgment is up to our Creator. But as believers, we are to judge one another righteously with the intent to lift them up and not tear them down. But the society today has created this false idea that we're not to judge others and we're supposed to leave each person be for themselves. No, if you look a certain way, act a certain way, speak a certain way, and think a certain way, not only are we to judge you, but we're to understand that the enemy is judging us. And the enemy is not judging us to lift us up. The enemy is judging us to lift us down and break us down and destroy us. And on those areas that we're weak and inconsistent, the enemy knows the difference between our true heart and our false appearance that we're trying to give. And he destroys people because of their weaknesses and the areas that they're weak and they don't really get it and understand the problems that they're creating within their own lives. So I want all of you to be confident out there and to give our Creator the reverence that we're supposed to be giving him, and to study his guidelines and instructions and his words, and to live a life according to his guidelines and instructions. And to not doubt this at any point. And it's not only in our little white lies, it's also in our emotional reactions. Somebody that has a strong relationship with our Creator has peace in their lives. Anxiety, anger, and fear, and these things, these are not traits of somebody who's built a relationship with a wonderful Creator. And we need to judge ourselves and not come down on ourselves because we're not meeting the mark or anything like that, but we're supposed to question, why aren't we? Why aren't we? Why are we still acting in a way that we shouldn't be acting? Has our heart really been turned and circumcised to now believe in our wonderful Creator? Or do we still struggle with the ways of the world? Do we still get scared by the news reports and the media reports? Are we confident in what we're doing regardless of what the thinking says, the human thinking? You know, are we trusting that our Creator can do all things and we can do all things through him? So these are the things we need to question and we need to think about. Where is your desire? Where is your desire? And the scriptures say, if it would be the desire to fear me and obey all my commands in the future, so they may all may go well with them and their descendants forever. This is in Deuteronomy 5:29. My question to you this morning is, where is your desire? What is your desire? Is it to be in awe of a wonderful Creator and give him the reverence that he deserves? And to seek out and understand what he wants you to do with your life and how he wants you to do it? And he tells you over and over again, so all may go well with you and your descendants forever. How many of you listening want not just some things, not just sometimes, but everything to go well for you? But the reality of all this is people are not putting their reverence in our Creator. They're not giving him the place that he needs in our lives. Their body language shows it. Their sin behavior reveals it. You have a bunch of people out here trying to articulate with their words a false picture of what their body language is saying and what their actions are saying. You know, when our Creator tries over and over and over again to get people's eyes to be opened, for people to understand, so people will get this. And we need to judge ourselves and test ourselves to understand these things. There should be no acceptance for evil in our lives. No acceptance for sin in our lives. No excuse for sin. There's no excuse for sin. When you say you and confess that you now believe in a wonderful Creator, something is supposed to change. You now to love what he loves and hate what he hates. That's what's supposed to happen. Once you confess him as Messiah, but you go and you act the same way and think the same way about things, if nothing has changed, guess what? Nothing has changed. Something must change, and it must be your heart. Your heart must change. And this isn't something that happens one time in your life when you confess him. This is a daily thing. You spent most of your life creating a situation to love and accept sin. And now that's supposed to be overturned and overchanged, and behaviors need to be made different. And we have to react different to certain situations, and we have to be different in certain situations. And it starts with our thinking, and it starts with our confession of who Yeshua is and what reverence we give him in our lives. So we need to understand the great gift that our Creator has given us and what He's done for us. And we must learn to be in awe of Him and all He's done for our lives and not make the same mistakes they made in the scriptures many years ago when they ignored Him. He did a wonderful thing by setting them free from slavery in Egypt and bringing them into a land where they could start out fresh and new. They could start out fresh and new and follow His guidelines and instructions. And He says in His word, do not follow the ways of those that have been there before. They're following all these other deities. They're following all these gods and all these other ways of man and their crowd pleases and their flesh pleasers. He's giving them a new start. Do not follow them. Do not follow them. Here is everything I desire for you to do, and it is not difficult to do. And the people back then had a choice to choose life or choose death. That was their choice. And we're all going to die physically, but we have a choice to choose life or death. And we'll talk about eternally. What's going to happen? And some of you say, well, who cares then? I'm thinking about now. Well, the scriptures give us a whole list of how to live our lives so we can be blessed now and have life later on. You know, there are terms that we hear in scripture that people don't connect or understand. There are things that happen with our Creator that our human thinking cannot comprehend. Animals speaking, the ocean parting, and all these different things that are happening. And these things might sound like the real miracles to you about moving mountains and all these waters coming out of rocks and everything else. But the real amazing thing is that somebody could be so vile and wicked and evil and brought up in such a way to hate our Creator and not believe in anything except what the enemy wants them to believe in this world, that person could have a complete heart change and be cleansed. And for some people, it'll be overnight, and some people, it might take longer, but somebody can come and completely transform their life. To me, that is the biggest miracle and blessing and greatest thing in the reality that it can happen more than anything that our Creator has ever done in the world. More than anything. People coming back from the dead. The ocean parting. You know, water coming out of rocks. Animals speaking. All these different miracles we see and hear about in the world. Yet the greatest miracle is that somebody so vile, evil, and wicked can change like that and become a new person. And it's so hard for us to believe. It's so hard for that even to make sense to us. You could see somebody in jail who's been there for murder, and they are guilty. Or some other vile crime or something else. And this person can have that same change. We see that in the scriptures. The Apostle Paul, who's murdering people, having them killed for believing in Yeshua. But he had that change. But what do? We doubt our Creator. We doubt that. Oh, I don't know if this is real. This can't happen. And, you know, and there's just... There's no belief in what our Creator can do. But He can do that. He can do that with that person in jail. And He could do that with you. Because you might not think you're as wicked as that person that might have committed that crime. But you're committing crimes daily against our Creator by living against His word and doubting Him and representing Him in a negative way and doing all these things that do not go along with the way He wants you to live. So you first have to admit and understand how wicked you are and how much you're living against His ways and how you fear man more than you fear Him and you give Him no reverence in your life. But it's been proven over and over and over again how He could change one's life and how He could change your life by changing your communication, by changing the way you think. Yes, you should judge others and you should judge yourself. You should compare it up to the way our Creator tells us to live and how He wants us to live. And are you putting Him first in your life? And in your emotional state, do you have that peace and comfort and joy that He tells you to? and in the fruit you're showing in your life and all the different desires you have in life, where do they stand? Where do they equal up to? You have that opportunity to change what's not in line with Scripture. The first question is where is your desire? Do you want to change? Do you have a heart to change? Some of you don't see anything you're doing wrong. I know somebody that represents our Creator in a very negative way. He doesn't speak. He doesn't act. He doesn't dress in the right manner. He lies all the time. He lives according to the world and the world's ways. No desire to change at all. But he doesn't know it. Even when I question him on some of the things he does, he says, I'm a good person. That doesn't matter. That's not the mindset to have. Compare your life to the words of our Creator and the way he wants us to live. And we first have to come to admit if we're not meeting up in the right area in certain place in our lives. And then there are people in certain areas of life, they are doing wonderful. But other areas, they struggle greatly. Understand this, our Creator is not a creator of anything less but completeness. He doesn't want some of you to repent. He wants all of you to repent. He doesn't want part of you to turn your ways. He wants all of you to turn your whole body, everything to turn your ways. You know, and this is tremendously important for two reasons. For number one, our life right here, right now, we have an option to choose to follow him and his ways and live a certain way and have that peace and joy no matter what. Or we continue to create hardships in our lives and create moments in our lives that make it harder to survive. But then more important, there's eternity. What's going to happen when we die? Where we're going to spend life when we die, and so on. And that comes only by accepting Yahshua, the one they call Jesus who died for us. And if you have doubt about that or don't believe that, you're putting yourself in a very dangerous situation. A very dangerous situation. Thankfully, our Creator has amazing patience. Amazing patience. But we must change our way of thinking so we get right with his words. And we see it in the things we do, the things we desire, to avoid everything that's going to put you in a situation that might make you appear to be friends with the world and to enjoy the evil of this world and the wickedness of this world. Who you're spending time with, what you're doing with that time, all has communicated in process to the enemy to show you. Oh, you want to spend time with those people. Oh, you enjoy being around those people. Oh, you enjoy doing those things. You're speaking to the enemy. You're communicating to him. And you're also speaking to our Creator and communicating to him. I don't want anything to do with our Creator. I'm going to please the devil and his ways. That's the way many of you are acting. And you might not think it, but when you partake in things and justify things in this world, and there are so many things people are doing to do this. They don't rely on our Creator for anything. They take drugs to make it through the day. They put a false appearance on each day. They look more like the world than they do as a believer in our wonderful Creator. And the decisions they make are based on man's outcomes and not our Creator's outcome. All of these are communicating a very negative message to our Creator and a very real message that he's not the one you believe in, because you're pleasing the enemy more than you're pleasing him. The enemy doesn't want you to do certain things. And then when somebody questions you, and this is the most important thing, when somebody questions you or judges you on these things and bring these things up, and you don't care to change, but you defend your evil actions, that is the big issue. If your desire is to have a big house and a lot of cars and make all this money, but with that same money, there's homeless people and hungry people that you're driving past in your nice cars and you're stepping and kicking on those people, That's communicating your real actions and your real desire for what you're doing. You know, and we know what the drugs and the alcohol makes you cover up your sickness or your weakness or your desire not to be with him. And these things are hurting you. And I'm telling you this now because I don't want you to be hurt. You know, I want to judge you to lift you up, and I want you to judge me to lift me up. And we need to accept this. And I, you know, accept if somebody says something and I compare it to scripture, and if I'm living too short on something, I need to change. I need to change, not make the problem worse by denying what somebody is saying or giving somebody a false idea what I believe it means to be a believer or a follower or something. This isn't about organized religion. This is about, you know, who you're pleasing and the message you're sending. That's what it's about. You know, there's a scripture that says there's a way before each person that seems right but ends in death. You know, so when people say the words, but I'm a good person, but I'm a good person, it's not about what your opinion is of yourself. It's about how does your life measure up to the words of our wonderful Messiah, Yeshua, and how he told us to live. Nobody is questioning if somebody's a good person or not. We're questioning, are you living according to the way our Creator told us to live or not? You know, because everyone's good according to their own desires and according to the world's ways. And what is good in the world, it says in the scriptures, some people call good evil and evil good. So we must change that thinking. And that's where the word repentance comes in. So I pray this message is hitting you all, and you never stop. And I never stop judging myself. I never stop thinking about and comparing myself and studying the word to compare my life against the word. And then when we discover that area where we're falling short, what decision are we going to make? What decision are we going to make? That's what we have to decide. And who we want to please. You know, what we want to trust is the right way. It says in the scripture, not put your trust in man, to trust our Creator. Do not follow the ways of those that fell short before you, to get right with him. Praise our wonderful Creator that he gives us so much time and the patience that he gives us to get it right. But there's going to come a point in your life where you're going to have to make that choice. You're going to have to make that choice. And that choice is determines the quality of your life here. And also, when you die, it determines the quality of your life. Whether you want to believe that or not, you do have control over it and the choices you make. And as it says in the word, today I give before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. Your physical life and also your afterlife. How are you going to live or not live? You all have a choice. And I pray that you would communicate or learn about communicating and learn what your body language is saying, regardless of what your words are saying. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. Hey, Florida. Want to help with the over 20,000 children in the state's foster care system? Join All Pro Dad and the Declare No More Foundation at Grace Community Church in Boca Raton at 5 p.m. on Sunday, March 8th. For an event where you can step up to foster, adopt, or learn how you can serve and advocate for the families who are doing the incredibly hard but rewarding work of saving young lives. Text ACTION to 97000 to register for this free, amazing event today. Again, text ACTION to 97000 to register.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.